Okay, it's a little after 9:01 now, so we'll get going. Again, my name is Martin Suberg. I'm the Commissioner of Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. We also have Kathy Baskin, our Assistant Commissioner for Water, on the line. And as is our practice, we have the wastewater staff and deputy regional directors from our four regions also on the line, as well as program representatives from headquarters. In addition, I believe we are joined today by Denny Dart and Jeff Kopp of US EPA. They've joined us on each one of these calls. In a moment, I will give Denny an opportunity to say a few words if there's anything that EPA would like to do. Before I do that, though, I do want to acknowledge this call is being recorded, as they all are, and that a copy of this recording will be up and available on our website in case people need it for reference going forward. So with that, I might ask Denny or Jeff to unmute themselves and see if there's anything they would like to highlight right now.
Hi, this is Denny. Thank you, Commissioner. I think one thing I would like to mention just off the bat, we've had a lot of calls in the last week regarding requirements in the MS4 permit. Under the permit, the sampling for year two would be starting very soon. And I just wanted to let everybody know that EPA is not planning to change any of the permit milestones for the MS4 permit. However, if because of COVID-19, a municipality is not able to do the illicit sampling, they should contact Todd Borchi at our office. And his last name is spelled B-O-R-C-I. And I can give a phone number or I can provide that for the notes. I'll just give the number for now. It's 617-918-1358. And you can contact him by email, which is probably better, at borci.todd@epa.gov. So that's what I had to say today. Jeff Kopp is also on the line.
Okay, terrific. Thank you for that update. And I will note that we are putting updated questions and answers on our website today. A lot of them we talked about last week and we've tried to memorialize them, the new questions. I'll go over a few of the topics just to remind everybody again. And I think we have both our DEP staff contact information. I think we have Todd's and your contact information up on that listing as well. So for anybody who is looking for that, that's a resource. You can always go to our website and find the names of the, some of the individuals who have been participating in this call or who you're being directed to. I wanted to see if John Murphy was on the phone and if there was anything from the licensing side that he wanted to highlight. This would be a good opportunity for an update. So, John, if you want to unmute yourself and if there's any highlights, that would be terrific.
Yeah. Good morning, Commissioner. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thanks.
Okay, good. We are holding our board meeting tomorrow morning and continue to meet weekly, moving all of the items and requests coming in forward. So I appreciate the efforts of the boards right now and the phone calls and emails I've been receiving. So the process is working. So I recommend, again, anyone who has any questions on staffing or certification right now, to please reach out by phone or email, and I'll enter that information into the chat, and it is part of the Q&A document. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, John. Thanks for that update. I will also as I noted just a moment ago, I will note that our updated questions and answers, there are questions and answers up right now, but they will be updated again at, you know, by midday to reflect some of the things we've been talking about, and all, certainly all the contact information will be there. I wanted to also highlight, I don't know if Whitewater is on the line, but I just did want to highlight, I know you reached out to some of our folks, Weldon Langley, with some of your questions about influent testing. It's a topic that we will be talking more about for everybody's benefit, but I did want to acknowledge to Whitewater that we will be getting back to you. You know, we did receive your correspondence, and we will be getting back to you shortly with to discuss some of the issues you raised further, and you know, look for us to be in contact with you shortly. A couple of bigger points that I wanted to start with before we go into some of the questions we received this morning. We are continuing to discuss with our representatives, our liaison to the command center. We have gotten questions about priority testing for water and wastewater operators. Again, you provide an important service, you're an essential service, and you're doing important work for public health. And so we are trying to work with the command center to see if we can develop some priority program for testing. It's been heretofore limited to, largely law enforcement and first responders. It is expanding to other areas now, and we've certainly tried to make sure that water and wastewater is high on the list. And I hope by our next discussion, if not before, we'll have more to say about that. I did also want to note that we are getting this question from both the drinking water and the wastewater side. People are still looking for, information about whether any of the whether the future stimulus packages might include water and wastewater utilities. We are trying to stay connected with people that are working on those issues. We understand there's some activity at the federal level going on. We have tried to make sure that, the concerns of water and wastewater, operators and facilities are considered. Some of you have been very articulate in talking to me about saying this isn't simply the cost of responding to COVID, although keeping track of those costs in case there is, disaster relief money is a good idea. And again, our websites point to forms that, MEMA recommends using and instructions on that topic. But some of you have pointed out that you're also looking ahead to what will the impact be on your operations going forward with water usage down, with some of your bigger customers, perhaps being idle, with perhaps more people having trouble paying bills. There will be a downstream economic impact that you're all starting to think about and have concerns about and have argued that, should be reflected in any kind of recovery package that is moving forward. At the national level, I know there are groups that represent water and wastewater utilities that have been lobbying Congress on that issue. Similarly, like I said, we're aware that, these impacts are something that the utilities here are concerned about. And so we are trying to plug into people that are working on those issues to make sure that your issues are addressed as well. I don't have anything definitive right now other than to acknowledge that we are trying to make it part of the conversation. And as we learn more, we'll stay in touch with you on that issue as well. As I noted, earlier in the call, we have some new questions and answers, written questions and answers going up. A lot of them we discussed last week. When that goes up later today, what you'll see is we'll have some links to the EPA websites and the contact information we talked about. There will be more information about what we know about health impacts, some of the things that Dr. Mark Smith talked about with, you know, airborne risks, you know, what happens with aerosolization, the latest scientific information that he described to you on the last call, that's all been written down. We also have a section on issues related to septage, some of which we previewed and have more detailed information on. So I'd encourage you to take a look at that when that is posted. As of this morning, we got some questions, and I'll take a look at them right now and see. Well, one of the questions indicated is, what influence samples. And again, I acknowledge that we have some requests in pending. And what I would say about that, you know, the questioner says, with so much unknown about the virus, does the benefit of collecting influence sampling outweigh the risk that operators are put at? And they're looking towards how we're going to approach influence sampling. I would say as an initial matter, we are going to take a closer look at that. And if you are having concerns and issues about that, you know, in the first instance, reaching out to your regional DEP office will be important so that we can understand your concerns, what you're confronting. Again, so we can work with you. I think we'll have more to say about that in the next couple of days. We certainly understand the risk. We certainly want to coordinate with EPA on those things that are NPDES related, but we also have our own discussion with regards to groundwater discharge permits. And so we will take a close look at it. But in the first instance, if you're dealing with this issue, contact your regional office. Secondly, somebody highlighted a Title V question, saying that, you know, can a Title V inspection be delayed up to 6 months, noting that the regulations already authorize an inspection to be conducted up to 6 months after the sale of a home if weather conditions preclude inspection at the time of sale. And, people have raised this issue as well, saying that this is an emergency. It's not a weather-related emergency, but a different emergency. And we're going to take a look at that. We just got this question. On our questions and answers that are going up today, we've already provided, a little bit of, one answer. Somebody said, what if I can't? I typically do a walkthrough of a home, and what if I can't do that because, health protective reasons, people aren't, I'm not going to be able to do the walkthrough of the home. How would I document that? In this particular case, I think we do want to be thoughtful about this, and I think what we'll do in answering this question is, try to consider what are the best practices, what are the things that, people can do, or if they can't, to make sure that they and the people that they are working with at the inspection stay safe. How do we document it? So I would say more is coming on that. I really want to make sure that we're getting the perspectives of the regions on it, but I want to acknowledge that question, and we'll try to push an answer out in the next couple of days, whether, how we would approach that. Would we view this emergency the same way as a weather-related emergency, which is already allowed under our regulations? And if so, what kinds of documentation would you need? So with that, I think we got a question. We got a question on about the status of the SRF program, the IUP finalization. Somebody's on the list and expecting, to receive, successfully be able to move forward with a project on it, and they'd like to move forward with the project on it. We are in the final stages of finalizing the IUP. I would think in the next couple of weeks, you'll see something. We've tried to make sure that we are keeping things moving. And so, I hope we'll have a better update you know, in a week or so. But this, we are definitely moving the IUP, recognizing that, you know, this is these were important projects before COVID and remain important projects, even as we try to provide flexibility for the town processes, you know, to do all the things they need to do to make sure that they're successfully getting the money. But we do recognize that putting the IUP list out is a priority, and we're going to do it. So it's coming. We are going to, you know, see if we've gotten other questions. I might ask Kathleen Baskin, I should have said this at the beginning, you know, one of the things we've done either through the chat function or if somebody wanted to email Kathy Baskin a question, you know, I'd like to encourage you to do so. We don't have any updates in terms of a state program on personal protective equipment, but I see from something that Kathy forwarded to me, you know, somebody suggesting that perhaps there would be value on polling operators to see, you know, who's struggling to get supplies. As you know, we've been encouraging you to work with your local emergency management authorities is probably the, you know, another route. But, you know, somebody in the questions this morning asked whether or not it would be valuable to for us to poll that. We can we can put a poll like that out there, but and are prepared to do so. But if anybody had anything in particular on PPE they wanted to raise, then you know, we'd be happy to talk about it. But again, you know, the status hasn't changed. We continue to identify water and wastewater operators as important for both PPE and testing. And like I said, I'm hoping we'll have something to say on testing. You know, PPE just remains a really challenging area. So with that, Kathy, are there other questions that have come across the line?
Commissioner, I have not seen any more questions come in, but I did think I should mention or let people know about the operator survey that we put out last week. So MassDEP published an online survey to collect the names of operators who are willing to assist other facilities. And we did get a few wastewater operators who are interested. We got a lot of drinking water operators, probably 41 in total. Right now we have 24 who are sort of authenticated. We know who they are, their address, we have all their information. Three of those were wastewater operators of the 24. So we're certainly looking for more participation if people are available to help out other areas. And we'll put that information up online.
Yeah, that's right. That's come up a couple of times in our drinking water calls, and you know, folks from Warren did their own survey, but they asked us to do our survey as well in case people aren't Warren members, and we are going to put the results up on our website for anybody, just so that we are sharing this body of knowledge. And Kathy, any sense, you know, this poll will continue to evolve, but any sense of when that might go up on the website?
I think it could go up this week.
Very
so
good.
It we'll just put a caveat that these are not people that we necessarily know or could endorse, and we would certainly recommend that you vet them as you would anybody else. But you know, some of the people are people you're going to know, and hopefully that would be helpful to your facilities. We do have a question.
Okay.
So this is from Nantucket. Nantucket is experiencing severe erosion in areas near discharge beds. Would there be any kind of update for potential timelines for MassDEP site visit to the island if required? It's not a priority question, but maybe needed for discussion.
Okay, so I might ask if, you know, again, if we are trying to prioritize our work and, you know, to do honor to the, you know, what people are trying to do with limiting interactions and maintaining social distancing. However, that being said, if there's something important to a community where, you know, we need to be there so you can keep doing your work even during this, you know, emergency period, we will do our best to establish, you know, the protocols to keep you and our people safe and get the work done. I might encourage you to have a bigger discussion, perhaps with the regional office. I don't know, Dave Johnson, if you're on the line or not.
Hi, Marty. Yeah, this is Dave Johnson. And yes, I do echo what the commissioner just said. We are doing inspections if need be. We also work closely with the Nantucket Board of Health and Conservation Commission, both very strong. And then lastly, I'd recommend that you perhaps get out and try to do some photographic, you know, snapshots for us to send back to Brian Dudley. And we've been working a lot with folks remotely, with your engineers, to try to document things we can, you know, while we're in the office and you folks are out in the field, get a better handle on what we have. Sometimes we're able to sort things out remotely. And if we need to get out there, we absolutely will.
Right. And good suggestions, Dave. And I'd also point out that, you know, with some of our work in the regions, we, you know, photographs are great. And, you know, depending on what you're experiencing, there may be video of the situation. I know we found that helpful in some of the, you know, just the immediate work that we've been able to do.
Yeah, Mr. Commissioner, this is David Gray from Nantucket. Just a quick comment, if I could.
Sure.
Well, thank you just for the question. We're not in any immediate danger of any breaches or anything, and Brian Dudley has been made aware of what's going on. We just lost another 15 feet the night before last with that storm that came through. It's just concerns. I do have engineers working on this, and it has been newly GPS'd and mapped. So we are working at that point. I just didn't know when and if, or what time DEP might be back in the offices if I need to have Brian come over. Thank you.
Yeah, no, and it's great. And, you know, if the situation, you know, we're trying to be thoughtful about it. You know, we have the firmest, you know, the line is, you know, the current orders are through May 4th. But like I said, having said that, if something is going on and you feel like you need us before that, we are responding accordingly. So let's stay in touch on that and, you know, see what we can best do to help you. Because, you know, like I said, we have been out when people have needed us to keep things, you know, keep the work moving and make sure that you're being supported. So, you know, stay in touch with Brian and stay in touch with Dave Johnston, and we'll work something out with you.
Will do. Thank you very much for the time. We're not at critical mass yet. We're not at critical mass yet, but I just wanted to raise the flag.
No, understood. It sounds like a pretty that 15 feet, that sounds pretty significant. So,
and Commissioner, this is Kathy. I think you had floated the question to our callers today about their PPE and how that's, you know, what their supplies look like.
Yes.
So it'd be great to hear from people.
If no one is, you know, this is an open invitation too, and obviously, you know, feel free to, you know, email us if there are particular things. As you know, we've tried to stay close to the supply chain questions on a number of topics, not just PPE, but, you know, we're talking about and continue to, you know, stay in touch on issues like oxygen and for the treatment process. And other times we've we've looked at, you know, we've talked about chemicals. So even if it's not right now, you know, keep us in the loop. Again, I regret that I don't have a program here that I can readily point to, but you know, we will, you know, in the interest of resource sharing. And I think one of the points that one of the, you know, comments that just came in, you know, if anybody, you know, knows, just to help your colleague agencies out, if people are having success with a particular supplier for, you know, for PPE or something like that, you know, that's information we'd be happy to share as well.
Hi, this is Melissa with the town of South Hadley. Can you hear me?
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Yes, we can. Thanks.
Okay. We did talk with MEMA, you know, through our local one, and to get PPE, and they actually were rejected when they actually put in for just wastewater PPE. So what we had to do was actually just put the order in again, but they left it like under the fire department. And it just depends on who's processing that claim. But it was rejected the first time.
Interesting. So when it was identified as PPE for wastewater, it was rejected. And the second time, because it went in under fire department, you were able to process it that way.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Try using the Board of Health.
Excuse me, what was that?
Try using your Board of Health. It's sometimes easier.
That was through the Board of Health.
This is important feedback, and I'll be taking this back to our command center folks as well. You know, because again, I know this is tough. It's a frustrating situation. PPE is short, and we'd like to have a source for it. And like I said, I haven't been able to identify anything, but these, you know, this kind of practical advice is really good to know.
Hi, this is Mark Young from Lowell. And I've been going through the local emergency planning board and the Board of Health, and have been successful in getting PPE for the wastewater and water utility using those. And also we have a vendor where we can get limited amounts. But one thing I am having difficulty making people understand is that we wear masks in this industry anyway. So this is not just a result of the coronavirus. And in wastewater, you're not wearing one mask a day. You could be wearing up to three if you're contaminating them in the course of your job. So typically what they were doing is giving us a small amount to divide up with water, wastewater, and educating people understand what we use them for. Now I'm able to get a larger amount and have a little bit of an inventory just in case we get limited supply later on. So I think sort of pre-planning like that is important for the eye industry and the plants to be aware of.
Really good. Really good. Other comments or questions or suggestions?
I want to mention one thing about the PPE, especially the masks. And Mark brought up a good point there about, you know, masks getting contaminated. In the N95s, I think, are actually technically respirators. But if you add a face shield, and sometimes you have face shields, and you can get them a lot easier than you get the N95 masks. But if you add the face shield and the mask, you protect the mask from, you know, contamination.
Very good point. So put the face shield with the mask. Yeah, and actually that was one thing that when we you know, updated the question and answer, we highlighted that as a potential issue, because I know some of the guidance talked about goggles and masks and versus face shields and masks. And I think for the reasons you've articulated, face shield and mask probably provides a greater degree of protection and, you know, saves the equipment.
Commissioner, so there is another question. Any update on BioBot sampling program?
From DEP's end, no. Again, when we were on the call last week, you know, I realized that we had two operators that were participating in the program. One of them had, you know, shared some of the results with us. I saw there was a news article about BioBot, I think, in the middle of last week, you know, using it, you know, talking about its potential uses, helping to figure out, you know, using it as a tool to help medical people understand the prevalence of COVID in communities. But we have not heard anything further about BioBot at DEP since then. We did raise the information we did get. We did provide that information to the command center so that our public health folks would have it. And we'll continue to do that if any communities are, you know, passing that along to us.
Commissioner, I don't see any new questions coming in now.
Okay. Well, why don't we open the floor one more time here if you want to unmute yourself. You know, certainly, you know, like I said, we have some homework assignments to do, and there are some things we're hoping to update you on, you know, at least before our next call. So we'll do that. But are there other questions or issues that we may not have gotten to this morning?
Hi, Mr. Commission. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, my name is Simone Macario. I'm the Safety and Environmental Manager at Coca-Cola Northampton. Nice to meet you, everybody. I'm sorry for enjoy the meeting late, but I'm not sure if someone already asked the question. I've just tried to explain our situation here. I do have a four wastewater operator. Our plant is a 60 grade industrial, and right now one of my associates is in quarantine because he's not COVID positive, but we put him in quarantine because he has contact with a third person that has COVID positive. So I need to contract someone, but on the market, it's very difficult for us to find someone to be contracted as an emergency and a temporary contractor with the 6C. I would like to know, I'm not sure if this answer we already have in the site, if I can have someone with 3, 4, or 5C license to operate my wastewater and then have someone with 6C on call. Not on the site, but is on call. Because I'm not sure if you can send the emergency license permission right now and if it's gonna be approval for 3C. I have a candidate with 3C, but I'm not sure if I can have him training and able to run, but with 3C or 4C license running that.
Okay. You know, so you're looking to get an emergency, you know, certification in place. Can I suggest, you know, I know we have John Murphy from the licensing board on the call. I think Brian Harrington, you're calling from Northampton, right? The
yes,
Coca-Cola
Northampton.
Facility in Northampton,
yes.
Right. Brian Harrington, are you on the line?
I am.
Okay. Maybe what I'd encourage you to do, you know, if you want to send your information, your contact information to me, I'll give it to you right now. I will get it to Brian and John, and maybe Brian, if you have the ability to maybe that you and John together can talk and see what you know the staffing issue is and what the quickest distance between the two points are for getting some of this help. Would you be willing to do that, Brian?
That's fine. Just shoot me the information and I'll touch base with John. And
okay. So yeah, so if you're emailing me, it's Martin MARTIN dot Suberg SUUBERG at mass.gov. So send me your contact information. What I'll do is I will respond and I will put you know, if you could put your best phone number on there, I will respond to you, and I will put both John Murphy and Brian Harrington on there, and they will arrange a call with you to talk about your situation in more detail.
Yes, actually, it was Mr. John Murphy that sent the invitation for this call. I was speaking to him, and then he said, Simone, I think it's good for you to participate of this call, okay?
Well, that's great. Good. Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay. I will send the information for, I already got the 3 email, Mrs. Kathleen, I think.
Yes.
Send to me. Okay. I have those 3 emails. I will shoot my my issue here, what I have, because it's tough for us.
Yep. Yep. No, we understand. And if you're having a shortage and you're looking for, you know, emergency help to cover operations, that's what we want to try to help you do. So.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And Commissioner, I have posted for the benefit of the people who are on computers, the emails for John Murphy, Brian Harrington, and yourself. And just for folks who are on the phone, emails, the format is the first name. So Brian.Harrington@mass.gov.
I'm going to stop you there. There's more than one Brian Harrington in the state system.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
I just posted it's Brian.D.Harrington.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to correct that.
Yeah.
And John Murphy's is a J. So,
right.
Yeah.
So it's Brian.D.Harrington and it's John.J.Murphy. I've had to learn this the hard way a couple of times. So, but those are the two with the middle initials. Those are the DEP personnel.
Okay, perfect. I've just corrected it. And we did get a comment from the Charles River Pollution Control District that they put in a request for the BioBot program, but received a response back saying that BioBot has reached its capacity, but are working to expand that capacity. And so CRPCD was put on a list for future calls for sampling.
I see.
And I do not see any further questions.
Okay. Well, if we don't have any additional questions, what we'll do is, again, we'll try to provide updates on testing. We're going to try to provide updates on what we know about, the economic issues some of you are starting to raise. We will also be posting, some questions and answers today that we developed as a result of our discussion last week. We will also be posting the list of our survey of, potential volunteers, if you will, people that are work in the industry and might be able to help in an emergency situation with staffing issues. We will also, make sure to answer the questions about Title V and influent testing. And we will endeavor to put more information up as quickly as possible on our website. And we will also, make it a point to hold this time again tomorrow next week at this time again to have a follow-up discussion. So if we get very timely news, we will try to push it out through our broadcast email lists. But in the meantime, we'll also try to make sure we're putting it on our website, but we will do broadcast emails. And we will be responding to questions. We, as you heard, we have regional folks on from each of the regions to help, and they'll continue to be available for your specific questions. So with that, thank you all again for doing such important public health work, important environmental work in such a challenging time. I really appreciate the fact that we're able to engage in conversations like this and continue to try to, we'll continue to try to work in support of all your efforts. So with that, thanks again for the time, and we'll be in touch in various ways, but certainly in person again next week.